Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18 plus. Welcome to the Inverted Upside Down. You're listening to Paranormal Now with Alan B. Smith. Rebroadcast on the Unex Network. Thursdays at 11 p.m. Pacific. Fridays at 2 a.m. Eastern.
However you are and whenever you are, welcome, good souls, to Paranormal Now. This is Alan B. Smith. Join us as we traverse the cosmic highway of paranormal portals and tantalizing turnoffs, kind of, sort of, for the last time, but not really. So tonight is officially the last night of Paranormal Now, the title. However, we're changing the name to Mystic Lounge. So as of next week, it will be entitled Mystic Lounge. So what that means is your RSS feed for your podcast, the postings here, the show episodes will all continue as normal. It's just a title change. And the reason is I really wanted to expand some of the topics that we do on the show and not be seen strictly as a paranormal only podcast. And that includes other things like wellness and self-help. So it's a really exciting time. I've been kind of chicken about changing the name for a year. I've been thinking about it, and I finally got around to it. Jess Rogue, who many of you know, she did the same thing, and she kind of encouraged me to just go ahead and do it. So I did. So I'm really excited. It's going to be, I think I'm going to bring in some topics that, you know, are a little bit more on the self-help side, but I think that really does tie into the spiritual and the paranormal aspect of what we do here. Because even, you know, like the guests that we had on tonight, all of their work somehow or another ties back into our overall wellness, you know, bringing joy into our life, pursuing high strangeness, communicating with spirits on the other side. And by learning about them, we learn about ourselves. So this is going to be a really cool time. And I can't wait to bring my guests on tonight. We have Jessica Freeberg and Natalie Fowler, authors of Monsters of the Midwest, and Lady Anne, author of Aperture in the Veil, Born into a Preternatural World. November 10th, I have another exciting news. Tyler Henry, the psychic medium, will be on. Actually, I've already recorded that interview, but it'll post on November 10th. So keep your eye out for that. That'll be really, really fun. He was a super nice person. He's just like you imagine. And I really enjoyed the conversation with him. And if you want to get high on the paranormal in the way that I do, which is juicing up with my caffeine, just go to aliencoffeebean.com and you can get your own coffee roast from aliencoffeebean.com with a 20% discount. And that code is mystery20, mystery, all caps, 20. And it's US shipping only. As a friendly reminder, please subscribe and like and comment on this channel. Organic shares, all that really helps the channel grow. And I thank you so much for the continued support and in this exciting transition as well. Now let's bring on our esteemed guests. Hey, how is everyone?
Great.
Wow. I'm really excited because tonight we will be chatting high strangeness and scary tales, but it's also really cool because all of y'all have been on Paranormal Now, and this is the last, you know, Paranormal Now episode under that name. So I'm really happy that you're here with me to be a part of that.
That's so cool. I actually feel a little extra honored that this is the last episode.
Yeah.
So I really want to share our best stories tonight, right? Like the stories we've researched or have experienced ourselves, the scariest moments that we've had or we have heard, because this season helps us all, I think, embrace the darker side of life in a healthy way. You know, rather than living in fear of the unknown, it's embracing our own mortality, embracing the unexpected. And oftentimes, and it's kind of trying to tie in like self-help and wellness into paranormal and spirituality. But I truly believe it's extraordinarily profound what we take away from this kind of research. So I'll start with my own personal story, which some people may have heard before. And this is a pretty short one. We were camping one time and we were on this ranch, James Gilliland's ranch, if some people are familiar with. And on this ranch, there are alleged high strangeness events, including contact with ET. I'm getting a look from the love of my life, like, oh my God, you're not telling the story. Because it creeped us the heck out. Okay, so we're on this ranch, and we know that there are people that go there to seek contact with extraterrestrials. What I didn't realize is that at the time there was this kind of like big building. It was like a compound, really, for CE5 for meditation and trying to call down aliens. So we were there. It was a beautiful day. We settled in for the night. We met some people there, had some conversations, and then at nighttime, a couple of people who had been there before brought their laser lights, and they were expecting to call down extraterrestrials. So we're like, okay, we're down for this. We are all sitting on these folding chairs out in this field, looking up at the sky. It's a nice clear night. And they're kind of putting the intention out there. He's got his pointer, this one person in particular, a laser pointer. And then all of a sudden, like this kind of light appears and we're like, oh, that's interesting. And then, I'm getting some side eye. And then this no, it's not side eye. But then he gets really excited. And we start getting like, oh my God, he's getting excited. He's seen this before. He's said that he's, called down a UFO before. Wow, this is really happening. And it's coming closer and closer and closer. And then that solid light starts to flicker a little bit. And then you realize it's a helicopter. And we were all like, and I could see his disappointment, and we were just kind of like, oh no, because he was doing the hey brothers, we're here, like he was so convinced. And not that it hadn't happened to him before, because he clearly recognized, oh, this is a helicopter, I was wrong. So he wasn't just like crazy, but he was over enthused. So anyway, lots of storytelling. We go to the tent, we settle in, we fall asleep. In the middle of the night, I wake up because I have to go to the bathroom like terribly, right? And we're in the middle of this field and there's nowhere to go except, like in the field. And so I'm fighting to not get up and go to the bathroom. And then Omi, she wakes up and she, around the same time, and she hears something, and then she's like, listen. And then I hear something, and there's something walking around the tent, and it sounds, has that kind of bipedal pace, like that ch, 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 right? Yeah. And so, okay, there was like two other people that were camping around us. So I thought, okay, maybe it's one of them. It wasn't like a deer, it wasn't a quadruped. And my wife did not want me to get out because we were getting that really strange, scary vibe. Like there's something not right, right outside our tent. The 3 a.m. It was at 3 a.m. But I had to go to the bathroom so bad. I went outside and I was like, unzip the tent and I go to look out and I'm like, and then I look and there's nothing there. And then I get out and I walk around the tent and there's nothing there. But seconds ago, there was something right there walking around the grass. So, you know, now we're freaked out, but we do eventually go to bed and eventually go to sleep. My wife didn't sleep, she says. And, you know, we've heard of stories that Bigfoot has been sighted in that area. Now, at the time, I was not in that mindset of that camp that Bigfoot was anything, you know, sort of paranormal. So that was a new concept to me, that Bigfoot is this thing that's kind of like interdimensional or whatever it is, that it can kind of come and go at will. Hence, that's why people don't find it. So that was my creepy story. It wasn't the most frightening, but it was scary because it was like that sustained suspense that wouldn't go away. So does anybody have any comment on that?
That's a good one. I love it. And I also love, like, you're talking about this connection between you're looking for aliens and mm-hmm. talking about Bigfoot. I actually did a presentation for MUFON a few years ago where I took our Monsters of the Midwest book and I broke it down and I researched like alien sightings that were connected to the sightings of some of these monster creatures that we wrote about. And I was mm-hmm. shocked that there were so many that coincided, and it was actually pretty crazy. But yes, Bigfoot and UFO sightings do often coexist with each other. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's bizarre. So Jessica, do you want to take us into a story?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I was actually talking to Natalie before we came on, trying to figure out like, oh my gosh, what story am I going to tell? There's so many to choose from. But when you said scary story, I kept coming back to this one experience we had at one of our favorite places at the Palmer House Hotel. Mm-hmm. And we've been there so many times. And we usually do an event there every year, sometimes twice a year. And it's never really frightening. It's always just really good fun. And we do our events there so often because we know people are going to have an experience, right? Because it's super haunted and the ghosts like to come out and play. And Natalie and I are really good about going kind of down into the basement area in advance of everyone else going down and kind of getting a feel for the energies, because I get nervous that I'm bringing people here. I don't want anyone to encounter anything icky, right? And usually we just have an awareness of some areas maybe that we shouldn't go into. And we kind of set an intention that there's a space that if the spirits don't want to interact with us, they can kind of go over there and we'll kind of hang out over here. But this particular time when we were there, there was just a very strange energy about the whole place. I was going upstairs to our room. Natalie and I were sharing a room at the end of the hallway. I think it was on the second floor. And I was walking down the hallway, and I've never had this experience before where I've been suddenly afraid like this. I felt like something was watching me. Yeah. And when I looked around behind me, I had this, and I don't know what you know, like about psychic vision, or when you see something, sometimes you see it like in here, not really with your eyes, but you see it in your head. And I just saw like on the ceilings and the walls, kind of like this black fluidy thing coming down the hallway toward me. And I could not get in my room fast enough. I couldn't get the key to turn fast enough. I was freaking out, which is very unusual. I never feel that way. I usually think ghosts are just super fun. But that whole weekend was kind of strange and off. There were just some energies about the place and we all kind of noticed it. We talked about it amongst ourselves and Natalie and I were very aware of it. But we had the group down in the basement for the paranormal investigation on Saturday. And we were sitting in the snowman room. It's the room where the big creepy snowman is. That's why they call it the snowman room. And there's this big long hallway outside of there. And all the lights are off. It's dark. We've been ghost hunting all night. And we hear something out there. And it sounds almost like a dog. Like you can hear almost like a collar rattling. And you can hear like the sound of little feet on the floor, and there was a shadow we kept seeing kind of pop around that corner that was low to the ground. And mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh, it's a dog, because the Palmer House is known to have ghost dogs. And we've captured EVPs of dogs barking, and we know about the ghost dogs, but Natalie and I are sitting there, and we weren't talking about it, but we were both in our head like, that's not a dog. That is not a freaking dog. And we're doing an EVP session at the time. Natalie and I unbeknownst to each other, are both like psychically trying to block whatever it is out there. Like, you can't come in here. We're setting the intention. The space is, you know, safe from whatever's out there. And everyone's calling this dog in. They're like, oh, come on, honey, come in, I'll pet you. And we're like, no, you're not coming in. And we listen to the EVPs on the way home, and we can actually hear a voice as this is happening. Three times a voice says so clearly, very clear EVP, get out, get out, get out. And we're like, yeah. It was not a good situation. And the, like, and just, the feeling was so creepy. The cool thing about that, though, too, is when the Palmer House was on Dead Files, and Amy, the psychic, goes in and she talks about what she sees. She talked about those things like on the walls and the ceiling, the black things. And I was like, yes, I've experienced those before. Those are real.
And that's really interesting. I hadn't really thought that much on it, that you can do an investigation somewhere, right? On your own, unadvertised, unpublicized, and then you can watch some other programming and see, oh my God, I experienced the same thing.
Yeah.
That's corroboration.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Natalie, how about yourself? What's your
story? Oh, it was hard to come up with, because we've had a lot of adventures with Ghost Stories Inc. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was a tie, I think, but the one I'm going to go with is actually, you know, we had an opportunity right about the time I joined the group to head out to LA. Jessica has written books with Jay Asher, and he really wanted to go on a ghost hunt. And so we were figuring out, how do we take our group and travel? And this was such a cool thing for me. You know, I'm a soccer mom, you know, and it was an opportunity. I had little kids at home to get on a plane and go do something that I love to do with a group of really cool people. And I'll never forget going through security and having to explain what the ghost hunting equipment was. And the poor lady was like, what? You know, Jessica and I don't look like we're moms. So we're like unpacking this backpack. And I think we were flying Sun Country, so we were very limited in what suitcases we were allowed to bring. And poor Jessica had like this 80-pound backpack on with all of our like everything, all of our night vision cameras and everything. And she had to unpack every single thing at security because they needed to know exactly what all this stuff was for. And then we had to figure out how to put it all back together again. So just that whole experience. And then, you know, I hadn't ever met Jay Asher, but I'm a writer and an author, so I knew who he was. And you know, he picks us up with this 12-passenger van and driving us around LA. And so it was just such an experience in and of itself. But one of the reasons we were there was to investigate the Charles Manson murders. And we had an opportunity to go investigate at David Oman's house. And he lives about four doors down from where Sharon Tate was murdered and that whole history. And so here I had been reading and researching. I'm the historian for Ghost Stories Inc. And I'm a huge history nerd and research geek, so I take all of that very seriously. And I had been, you know, reading the biographies, reading all the things that I could find about the dates and the different events that unfolded over that course of time. And, you know, that was back, you know, I remember as a little kid, my parents talking about some of that, and just the history of it was so chilling. And the cultish behavior and the cult following, I think that was probably the scariest part of this, is how do these people who are just living their lives get sucked into this sort of environment and this sort of leader and just go with it? And so the whole weekend just had this overhang of such depth and sadness and you know, all these lives were destroyed because of one person's ideas. And so that in and of itself was really chilling just from the beginning, from the minute we got off the plane. And so we had our group and we went through, we did an investigation, and, you know, it wasn't a particularly active investigation, although, you know, we had watched some of the shows that had been filmed in advance, and there was a room down in the basement where somebody from Ghost Adventures had gotten scratched and everything, and of course Jessica and I were the ones to go down there. Nobody else in our group would go. And we're like, we'll go. So the two of us went down and, you know, it was just, it was an interesting night. You know, not a ton of paranormal activity that we couldn't completely debunk and all of that. But, you know, the next day we decided that as part of this, you know, we were doing kind of a driving tour of LA and going to some of the sites and different things. And just the fact that this is four doors down from where that happened. And when you're replaying the events that happened that night, you know, these kids get in a car and then they go chase down and they're killing these people. And you're driving down the same street in the dark and you're seeing what it's like to be on this road. And, you know, we of course didn't ever get into the property where Sharon Tate was murdered, but to even just walk down the end of the road and stand at that gate and think about the horrific things that happened on the other side of that wall was kind of a chilling moment in and of itself. And then the next day, just to kind of get a full picture of what, you know, how far away were they? And, you know, you're reading all the books and you're reading some of the things that happened. And so we decided we were going to go out into the woods and try to find the location of the Spahn Ranch where the whole cult family was living. And, you know, it burned to the ground a long time ago and it used to be an old movie set. So nothing was there anymore. But we, you know, Jay is from LA, so he knew where everything was and he knew how to get different places, a lot more than us Midwestern girls would have been able to navigate some of this stuff. And so we found a place to park and we took off and we started hiking through these woods. And it's all where the Charles Manson family was living for a number of weeks and months. And, you know, I guess the most chilling part about it was just to be walking in the same space, knowing who these people were, how they got sucked into this, and then the events that unfolded from this place is kind of the center of their operation was just, it was chilling in a way that I've never felt before when you're standing in that historical place like that. Mm-hmm. And our whole purpose was to kind of try to find, you know, there's those books and in Helter Skelter, the book that came out about it, there was a whole series of photographs and some of those photographs are pretty famous. And there's a picture of all of the girls and everybody sitting in the cave. And we decided we really wanted to find that cave and didn't have a whole lot of information to go on, you know, finding some websites that gave direction. And so kind of hiking through the woods and finding that, and you come across like the space where the buildings used to stand. And you know, here we were like having fun, making jokes the entire time. I don't think I've ever laughed so much on a weekend with these people because it's just, you know, like-minded friends, mm-hmm. all creatives. We were telling jokes and laughing the whole time. But the minute we all got to that space where the buildings used to stand, everyone just was quiet. And it was just this really respectful moment of awe about what actually had gone down there and what happened. And then we set off and we ended up finding the cave and we took a picture in it and everything. But that whole experience really, you know, really drove home because I've been writing ghost stories for years. And I always tell people that the people you have to watch out for in my stories are the real people. And this was such an example of that. Like the most horrific things came from this space and the horror that unfolded for the people that were victims in this and their families because of one person's twisted idea of what the world was just was more chilling than I think anything I've ever encountered in the paranormal.
Yeah. It's almost like Kanye West, right? My God, yeah. Like, what is going on with him? That's frightening in itself.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So you're right, Natalie, though, that's, isn't that funny? I feel like everyone says something similar, that it's really, so many people are superstitious, you know, they're afraid of ghosts, afraid of going into a haunted house, they're afraid of, you know, Wiccans, for goodness sake, you know, and, But it's humans. It's humans that are the most frightening of them.
We're
all.
The ones that we have to watch out for.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for sharing that. Lady Anne, how about yourself?
Oh gosh. You know, it was hard to really figure out which story that I was going to go with. However, I'm going to have to stick with my own, I guess, Sasquatch story. That's kind of what I label it as. Mm-hmm. Although by the end of it, I question if it really was. So, of course, I had been to Ohio. This was my second time that I had been to Ohio. And this was about a couple years ago.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we had started out doing a ghost hunt. And I had a friend that moved into a new house, and so we were going to check it out and kind of read the energies and see how it was. And we started off with, we put her on the Estes method, which is, you know, where you blind yourself and have the noise-canceling headphones, and you're listening to the SB7, and it's just kind of going through the channels, and you're supposed to say out loud what you hear. So what we're hearing is a lot of stuff in regards to the land. We hear land, forest, trees, and there really isn't too much else that it says. So I thought, okay, well, maybe we should continue this out in the woods. So we gather all of our gear and we go outside. We get in this little off-road vehicle, and we drive out through this field, and we drive into this patch of woods that just kind of feels right. Well, the big difference here at this point is that here I am from Oregon, and in Oregon at night, the sound, it's really quiet, but over there it's an orchestra. And not being used to that, I didn't really put two and two together, but it was silent. And so I thought, okay, we're good. And they asked me, they said, how you feeling, Anne? And I said, well, I'm feeling great. So we walk in and we find a little clearing. We place down a blanket and we place down all these different, tools to be able to, you know, read the energy. You know, if something is nearby, it'll make it go off, or like a little music box, it'll start playing music if there's something near it. And we're just kind of taking our time. Mm-hmm. And I hear kind of off behind me these bipedal footsteps. And they're loud and they're heavy. But at this point, I'm just like, okay, you know, maybe I'm being afraid. So I'm just going to try to ignore it. You know, it's no big deal. And that's when I hear this really low guttural growl. And it almost made me sick. But I'm looking at the people that I'm with, and they have zero reactions. Nothing is happening. So I'm like, okay, could this really be me? I'm not sure. But I was like, I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to turn around, because whatever's behind me, I'm going to face it. So I grab this flashlight, and I'm out there. And I'm kind of just looking around with my flashlight. And I get to this point where there's this tree, and you can see the silhouette, and it looks exactly, you've got the head, you've got the shoulders, its arm is around the tree. And all I can think is, I'm not out here for you. This is not why I'm out here. And so I go to move the flashlight, because I'm like, I don't want this to be a part of my reality. So as soon as I move the flashlight, you can hear this really loud, open-handed slap against the vehicle that we drove in on. And of course, at this point, the people that I'm with, they laugh. Because when you're ghost hunting, of course you're going to hear creaks and groans and steps and bangs and all that kind of stuff. But we're out in the woods. We're not in a house or a building. So at this point, they look at me and they say, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, no, we have to leave. I can't be out here. And I'm just like, please get me out to the field. So they're like, all right, okay, we'll pack up all of our stuff and we'll get out to the field. So as we're packing up, I can see one of the other people in the party kind of looking behind him. And I'm just trying to ignore it. And we get in the vehicle. We drive out to the field. And he said that he felt that there was something that was following us out. Well, by the time we're out in the field, they ask, okay, is this better? And I said, yes, it is. You know, thank you. And we put the blanket back out and we're hanging out. And my friend, she has her phone. And she lifts it high up into the air. And she presses play on this YouTube video. And I didn't know what it was at the time. And of course, it was the 1994 Ohio Howl recording. So, of course, here's this Bigfoot call, supposed Bigfoot call that's going out into the woods, you know. And sure enough, in that moment, right back, the same tone, the same cadence, everything is coming right back at us from the woods. And in that moment, I'm just standing there and I'm like, monsters are real. Like, I'm done. I don't need to search for anything. It's happening right in front of me, right? And then I'm just like, we need to leave. And so we're getting back in the car. And of course, it's just this little gator, and we're in it, and we're just like, me, just this tiny little, you know, it's not going very fast at all. And I'm like envisioning them like running at us or turning the car over, you know. And we finally get back to, you know, home base, and they wanted to go back out, which they did. I did not go. I was like, I'm a knower now. I don't need to do anything else. So after they came back, I had been thinking a lot about how there's two different camps. There's the side that think that Sasquatch is a zoological creature. Mm-hmm. And then there's the side that believes that it has, you know, it's more paranormal in nature. Well, I decided, well, let's try the Estes method to try and, you know, why not? See if we can communicate with it, right? So we set everything up and we're out there. And we have this person on the Estes method. And it's so weird because you can feel this movement come in. And up on this ridge, myself and one other person can see the same silhouette come out from behind a tree, and it's like swaying back and forth. And like, you see that, right? And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I saw in the woods. Well, another person goes to shine the flashlight over there, and the person on the Estes method says, bright, too bright. So he shuts it off. And then she says, see, you see me. And it was just a lot. And so from there, though, they started talking about how we were once worshipped, but now we're a myth. And again, then it went back to talking about the land and how we've become disconnected. There's something that we've lost.
Yeah.
But then at that point, something else kind of came in that seemed it had a completely different energy. Now, this was more like a shape-shifting trickster energy that came in. And when it mentioned our kids' names, we shut it off and we were done. But it really made me think, okay, so could there be something out there that can shape-shift and knows that, you know, we know about like Sasquatch or Dogman or what have you, and it shape-shifts into this? Could both exist? So yeah, that's my...
Isn't that interesting that your first encounter with what you think is maybe a Bigfoot is actually a paranormal encounter? And that was the same for me. I mean, I don't know what it was because I didn't really see anything. But there's something, I don't know what it is, if it's within our shared consciousness. But I mean, Jessica and Natalie, you wrote a book about, you know, monsters of the Midwest and you know, things like the Beast of Bray Road and Wolfman and these kind of things. Why do y'all think that creature, that's a bipedal hairy creature, is prominent? Because there's a million other kinds of creatures we can imagine. I mean, of course you hear lizard man, hear all these other things. Thunderbird even, right? But this is so prevalent, and it's over and over and over again all over the world. What is it about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I one theory that sometimes comes to my mind, and it's just a theory. There's lots of theories, but you know, it's kind of like a tulpa almost in a way. It's something that we all recognize. It's something that we all talk about. And sometimes when I hear stories like the one that Lady Anne just shared, and it says your children's names and those type of things, sometimes mm-hmm. it makes me wonder, is it a Bigfoot or is it something pretending to be a Bigfoot? Mm-hmm. You know, is it something that right. knows that will recognize it in that form? Kind of like Slenderman, you know, that was just a fictionalized story. That was never a real thing. That was just something that somebody made up on the internet. And now there's video of it. There's photos of it. Like, this has become a thing that people actually have encounters with, because our collective consciousness has kind of made it become reality.
Did you say Thunderman?
I said Slenderman.
Oh, Slenderman. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
You know, the big tall guy with the really long arms.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember Nick Redfern mentioning that too. Like that the Slenderman, it's like almost like it's manifested.
Yeah.
Like the consciousness has, mm-hmm. has kind of created yeah. this thing. This tulpa, like you said, that's freakier than, you know, some other just cryptid that's coming in and out of our reality, because that, you know, and oftentimes there is that question of these ET encounters. I mean, Whitley Strieber touches on this, like he doesn't know if these are literally physical beings from Zeta Reticuli or there's some other form of consciousness that's coming and going. Of course, it feels real and all that. I want to read a story from Kat from UFOT, one of my favorite podcasts out there. She sent this in to share with y'all for Halloween. So this is actually very much a Halloween story. So in 1976, as little kids, this is from her perspective, I met the best friend I have ever had, Jody. No other friendship has ever come close to what she and I shared. We were the oddballs, the ugly ducklings, the geeks. Not exactly popular. Now, Halloween was our favorite holiday. We couldn't wait to dress up, be out in the night on our own, getting candy, being naughty. We even had our very own Halloween party in my attic because we certainly weren't invited to any other Halloween parties. Just her and I in full costume in my spooky decorated attic. It is one of my happiest memories. Fast forward, we go through the ups and downs of life. We grow. We turn from ugly ducklings into beautiful swans, LOL. My dear, sweet, caring, compassionate best friend became a paramedic, and I believe it was so she could take care of everyone, quote. However, when your heart is that big, it can also be your downfall. After one particularly terrifying response as a paramedic, where a heavily armed gunman killed 7 people and wounded 4, all the while taking shots at first responders. This was 1986, and certain safety protocols are now used for first responders, which weren't used then. This event really affected her. She struggled with anxiety and depression. I know now that she had PTSD from the event. A few years later, Jody lost her struggle with this darkness and ended her life. Needless to say, this devastated me and changed my life. I started noticing strange and unique little things happen to me and around me that were unexplainable. Things that to me were clearly signs or messages from Jody, special little things that only I would understand. Dreams that were more like visitations, a very specific song coming on the radio, a line from a movie being repeated, finding an item in a strange place that was hers. Someone I didn't know saying a key phrase or word that meant something to her and I. Even after I had my son as a toddler, he found a small red-headed doll at my parents' house, held it up, and proclaimed it to be the real Jody. Yes, she was a flaming redhead. Nothing surprised me anymore. Now, every year at Halloween, I would make a trip from the San Francisco Peninsula down the coast to Santa Cruz, where she is buried. I'd stop along the coast at a random big pumpkin patch, overlooking the ocean, and pick one to bring to her gravesite. So, about 10 years after she'd passed, another friend and I took this trip to Santa Cruz, stopping at a lovely big pumpkin patch, wandering aimlessly until we saw a perfect pumpkin, not too big, not too small. In fact, my friend found it. We purchased it and were on our way down to Santa Cruz. After pulling up to the cemetery, I happened to look down at this lovely smooth-skinned pumpkin and notice some marks or scars on the skin. The kind that happens when a pumpkin is nicked or scratched, and it scars over with a thick brownish lines. Some artists even purposely scratch in an image on a young pumpkin, and when it's fully grown, you'll have that image or word beautifully displayed on the pumpkin as it grows, the thick lines over the scratches. It's really cool. So as I'm looking at this pumpkin scars, I distinctly see a large J. I'm shocked. I point it out to my friend and she is staring. She whispers, "Keep looking." And then that's when I see next to the J is an O, then a few spaces away, a D, and again, a Y. Not perfectly symmetrical, not all upper or lowercase, simply a hodgepodge of the four letters that spelled out Jody. I am totally serious. We weren't drinking or doing drugs. I have a witness, and it was a randomly picked pumpkin. I did take pictures, and of course, I put them somewhere safe, which I can't find. However, I did recently find the negatives. This was the 90s, and I will have the photos made again. It was a message from my dear friend who always sends me personal messages, and this was also a special Halloween message on this, our favorite holiday. I fully believe this. Happy Halloween.
That's so beautiful.
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah. And happy Halloween to y'all. Do you celebrate anyone a Samhain? No?
Yeah.
Well, happy Samhain to anyone who does listening. All right. So in chat, I'm going to put in a link. So if you have a story, if you'd like to come and join us on air right now, please feel free. Just follow the link and I'll bring you into the show and we'll hear what you have to say about your close encounters. So now there are some animals out there that, this is Kat Brooks right here from UFOT. Thank you for reading that, Alan. Thanks, Kat. Thanks for sharing that. Are there any movies that are your favorite Halloween movies that most accurately represent your favorite cryptid or entity? Natalie, good.
Oh gosh, it's hard. It's hard to pick movies. The first two that came to mind is that my daughter wants to have a marathon on Monday night watching the Addams Family cartoons, the new remakes, because the characters in there are quite sassy, and so we're gonna do that on Monday night. But I just always love the ghost ones with the twist, the Sixth Sense, and the others. I have to watch those all the time. That's my jam.
Yeah. Lady Anne, what's yours?
Oh gosh. Well, I think anything Victorian, anything that's set in that era, Crimson Peak, and then of course Wolfman, because that actually inspired the intro to The Caravan. When I say, "Come, walk down the winding path. Don't mind the spooks and monsters, they stay hidden within the trees." It's a retelling of a section of that movie where he's actually going down this winding path through the dark forest to seek out this gypsy who can tell him more about the werewolf.
Jessica, what about you?
Well, definitely The Sixth Sense and the others. Those are two of my absolute favorites. But anything Stephen King, Shining, you got to watch that. But when you were saying, like, what's the one that you most identify with, like a cryptid? I'm like, Harry and the Hendersons. Like, that's how I see Bigfoot. Yeah. My Bigfoot's really nice.
Yeah, mine is too. Yeah, that's why our Bigfoot just disappeared when I walked outside the tent. And I do want to say the difference between myself and Lady Anne is Lady Anne was directly brave in her encounter. I, however, I just really had to go to the bathroom. Otherwise, I would have not gotten out of that tent. Like, but Maria in chat, she says Signs. For me, that, you know, if you can put aliens, we'll make a stretch. We'll put that in the cryptid kind of category, right? Because there is that crossover. But for me, the Signs, I mean, yeah, that's the movie, because there is that horror factor to it. You know, there are moments when I first saw that, oh my God, I jumped, like my heart, you know, jumped out of my chest. And I love M. Night Shyamalan, and that movie, it has everything. It has, you know, religion versus atheism. It has mythology, has extraterrestrial, has science. It has family, relationships, overcoming depression and addiction. I mean, there is so much in that little film. Like, I really think it should be up there on the tier of like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And I think those of us in the community really appreciate it, but I don't think it ever got like the big exposure that I feel like it should have. But I love that film.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites too.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Jingus puts E.T. E.T. is hands down my favorite film.
100%. Like,
no doubt. Yeah. Yeah. Again, Jessica, a friendly alien.
You might have and Ghostbusters in there too then.
Yes, Ghostbusters.
You know, one of the scariest movies though, for me still to this day, is probably the first Chucky.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. I mean, that was just the best, you know, when they had minimal budgets, you know, like it was just all about light and shadow and timing and
little kids are scary.
Little kids are scary. Yes. There's a reason some of us don't have kids.
Yeah. I'll never forget when my older brother and I watched that movie. Our little brother, I'm like 11 years older than him. He was a toddler. So my older brother and I were watching it, and my little brother ran from our parents' bedroom across the hall to our bedroom. And I was like, oh my God, did you see that? It's Chucky. He just ran across the hallway. We like were hiding behind the couch.
You know, I think from now on, when somebody asks us, why don't you guys have kids? I'm just going to say, have you seen Chucky?
Yeah.
That's going to be my response. End of
or black-eyed kids. I mean, kids are just scary. Yeah.
Children of the corn.
Yeah, children of the corn.
Oh my God. That was like, I think my sister and I were watching that the first time, and the creature, that ruined cornfields for me for a really long time.
I grew up in Iowa. I lived across the street from a cornfield when that movie came out.
I used to have to ride my bike between the cornfields to get into town, and I would go so fast. I'd be like, I know they're there.
On a darker note, has anyone, because I know, you know, you all have psychic mediumship abilities, have any of you been in a situation where you felt like something was trying to take over you and kind of control your consciousness or your emotion?
You know, you can feel that stuff creeping in, and I think when you're going to do the work that we do, you also have to know how to block that out. Actually, that happened to me two nights ago. I was doing an investigation with Dave Schrader over at the Lexington. It's a really haunted restaurant, and it's about three blocks from where I live. And there was, you know, it's these historic buildings. I live in one myself now. There's a gangster safe on the wall behind me. You know, these old buildings that have just so many layers of history and residual energy of the people that live there, and you're living and dying and grieving or being angry in a space, and that energy. And I think right now, with the way the earth energies are shifting, the veils are thinner than they've ever been before. So even as a seasoned or practiced psychic going into these places, like, you constantly have to be watching, like, okay, wait, is my psychic protection still working? Are my grounding techniques still working? Because as these earth energies shift and the veils get thinner, or with whatever's happening, like, you constantly have to be doing a check to make sure that, okay, yeah, I need to upgrade this, or this isn't working the same way as it used to. And, you know, we were in this space, and I was working with another medium, and we were both picking up some really angry energy from one of the corners. The upstairs of that building used to be an apartment. And, you know, we're standing in the corner of this space, and like, just I was kind of in a zone, and I could feel, I put my hands at my neck, and I could just feel this angry energy. And it was just like coming up and trying to grab. And I think, Jessica, there's a story where we were on a ghost hunt, and we actually captured something like that on the SLS camera. And when you can see it with your own eyes, that this is actually happening. And and just trying to kind of grab. And that's where you have to just be confident enough in your own skills. And you know, we're the ones with the human bodies. So our energy fields are infinitely stronger than anything else that's out there. And you cannot forget that. So
yeah.
I never felt threatened or worried at all. But, you know, it still was very much there. And and in my case the other night, it was an energy where it was just a really angry man who had been drinking his whole life and was really, really angry at women for some reason. And and you know, you're just picking up on that. And yeah, so it's real. There's stuff out there. You have to be careful.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't really ever feel like I'm overcome by an energy. There was an investigation we did at the county poor farm. I would say it was kind of an exception where I was feeling the energy and the sadness of the children. I felt like it was children, and I was crying a lot. Like I couldn't stop crying, and that was not my sadness. Felt like it was coming from outside of myself. But never in a sense that something negative has ever taken me over. It was more like something wanted me to understand how they felt. And so I had that emotional reaction. But when you were talking about that thing coming over and the SLS, that's probably one of my scariest encounters with something paranormal. However, I wasn't scared of it because like Natalie was saying, I have a really good boundary set whenever I go into a place like that. So I don't feel like anything's going to like latch onto me or hurt me, but I'll never forget that one because it was Dave Schrader's event and he had just gotten one of those cameras, the SLS camera, where you can see the stick figures, you know, map in. And it was a charity event. So all these people were there and we were in this creepy basement and the history of the basement is very dark, like torture chamber-ish type darkness. And as we were standing down there, I was standing in front of the camera and everyone was behind Trader looking at the image and they said, oh, there's something on the floor and it's crawling toward you. And I was like, oh, there's something crawling toward me. And they're like, oh, and it's standing up now. And it was like coming up above me and it was like 7 feet tall and everybody's watching it. And I'm like, where's it at? Am I near it? Can I touch it? Like, I was so excited. So there was like no fear because I knew it wasn't going to hurt me. Okay. But maybe if I didn't have the boundaries set up, there would be a different feeling. Like I feel very in control of my psychic and personal space. So it's not anything that I'm afraid of, I guess.
And I've actually seen that on the SLS camera too. And that goes a long way to validating your own psychic protection. There was a thing coming around my head one time at the Palmer House. And I remember like joking because you also don't want to feed the fear of that because the more fear that you emit, the stronger that stuff becomes. So I remember making a joke, like you need to treat me like a lady if you're going to be in my space. And this thing was still like coming around. And so I just closed my eyes and I pushed my bubble of protection out a little bit and to watch it on the SLS camera, just kind of go poof and disappear. It's really validating that. Yeah. Our energy field is a bit stronger than the other stuff that's out there. So.
Yeah. Lady Anne, have you had a similar kind of experience?
Well, you know, when I was in healing group, I started healing group when I was 15. And that was when I kind of started coming into all of my abilities and learning about channeling and everything. And it was a bit rocky there in the beginning. I did have some attachments that I had to have help removing. And since then, I've, like you guys, have had the... you know, the tools and all the knowledge that really we have the power. We really do. And so I'm so grateful for that.
It's something they should start teaching in schools, I think.
Yeah. Our kids, you know, actually, see, well, it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of times people will tell kids, oh, this stuff doesn't exist, monsters, you know, ghosts and everything. And I think that it's kind of a disservice because then what happens when your child does have a genuine experience and then they also have no idea how to handle that. So,
yeah. For me, when my kids say they feel like there's a ghost in their room, I'm always like, instead of saying, oh, there's no such thing, I'm like, let me go get my ghost hunting equipment. I'll show you. There's nothing in here. See, boring. If our house was haunted, do you think I'd have to travel around, find ghosts?
Right.
Yeah, it's not like the movie Ghost where, like, what is the name? Adamay? I forget Whoopi Goldberg's character.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, all the ghosts, like, line up to her and, you know, waiting in line to be heard.
Although sometimes they do drop in and you're like, what the heck are you doing here? I'm just running on my treadmill. Like, no.
Yeah. Well, Natalie, you mentioned, you know, the thinning of the veil. Why do you think that the veil's thinning? Why is it thinner now than ever before?
My personal theory is that, I work with an astrologer a couple of days a week, and she's tracking all the astrological changes and some of these energetic shifts that we're going through. And I think that we're actually, and it, depending on which rabbit holes you fall down into, but there's a lot of theory about how we're raising our vibration as a planet. And Jessica and I actually have a techie friend, Kevin Swanson, who does a lot of his own tech. And he's actually studying the Schumann resonance on a regular basis. And there's a website that tracks the operating frequency of the earth energy. And he'll call me every now and then and be like, did you feel that? And it's his theory is that the more light workers that are out there doing this kind of work, you know, a lot of our work that we do when we're clearing a house or going into a space, we're shifting lower vibrational energy and moving it out and away from our space. So his theory is that the more of us that are out there doing this work, we're actually raising the vibration of the planet in a measurable way. This also coincides with some of the astrological stuff that's happening. And there was a conjunction a couple of years ago that astrologers pointed to as a conjunction that officially shifted us into the age of Aquarius. And all of that is, you know, we're in the middle of a paradigm shift now on Earth, and we're seeing some rocky politics. We're seeing a lot of crazy going on in our collective, but all of that's meant to kind of shake us up. We're becoming a kinder, more loving society as we move through this transition. And so part of that is, you know, we're divine beings. Our energy is more interconnected than before. And so I think that has a lot to do with some of the thinning veil theories as well. Like our gifts are coming online. I mean, I see that every day in my practice for clients, like people coming in and they feel like they're in a bathtub with a toaster sometimes. Like, what is happening to me? Like, all these gifts are starting to come online. And I can trace some of my own gifts and awakening back to 2012. And a lot of practicing psychics can point back to some of the astrological conjunctions in 2012 as something that kind of shifted them online. And so I think, you know, as our earth is evolving and our energy is evolving, I think that accounts for a lot of the thinning of the veils.
Yeah. That's refreshing to hear, because my personal feeling is a lot of people are actually numbing their intuitive abilities because of social media and, like, constantly being plugged into a device.
Yeah.
So it's nice to hear that you're seeing that other
side. There's a high vibration and a low vibration of everything going on in your birth chart. And I think if you look at your birth chart, you get different spiritual upgrades throughout the course of your life and your evolution as a human. And there's two choices with that. You can go to the high vibration, and when your gifts come online, the high vibration version of that is embracing your gifts, figuring out how to get grounded, how to, you know, embrace your gifts and your abilities. The low vibration is actually numbing and escapism. And so it's like the high vibration is spirit and heading towards spirit. The low vibration is actual spirits. And I'm just going to numb this and not feel it. So I think, and that actually is confirmed. If you look at the three most psychic signs of the zodiac are Pisces, Cancer, and Scorpio. And I think if you look at the birth signs of the people who go through AA, those are the three most common signs of people who go through chemical dependency treatment. So
I'm a Virgo.
Yeah.
Chemical dependency right here.
Yeah.
So that's nailed. Thank you all so much for joining tonight. I really appreciate it. This is so much fun.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, it's great.
So everybody, check out, please, Monsters of the Midwest. There's a new edition out by Jessica Freeberg and Natalie Fowler. And of course, The Diaries of Lady Anne Aperture in the Veil, born in a preternatural world. Happy Halloween. Do you guys want to leave us? Anyone want to leave us with any last thoughts for the season? Okay, silence is golden.
I have so many thoughts. Like, there's too many thoughts in here to have one last thought.
Okay, so everything we thought about and spoke about tonight, take that with you, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on the last official night of Paranormal Now. Next week, it will be Mystic Lounge. Special thanks to Race Hobbs and Margie K at the UnX Network. I really appreciate their support, especially as you know I go through some changes and transformations here. Please like, comment down below, subscribe, and share. All that is really helpful to the channel and the growth. And as a reminder, November 10th, come hang out in the chat. It's a pre-recorded interview with Tyler Henry, but I will be there in the chat with y'all. And I put the links down to all our guests in the show description and in the comments, so check that out. All right, until next time, everyone, peace and love, and live in the mystery.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.